You're listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, discussing the topics that matter to you, including marketing, networking, generating business awareness, as well as covering various business tools and technology. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by AudioShed Podcast Studio.
Welcome to Brumpod episode 50. I am Richard Heathcote and I am here full house with Jason and Ewan.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you going to put the fanfare in post-production for the 50th?
Yeah. And this marks episode 50, which is nice because it marks the fact that we are recording this the day after we had our first in-person networking event in 17 months.
Yay! Hooray.
It was great. It was just so good to be back.
Wasn't it weird? It was good weird, but it was weird.
It felt weird when we first came back in. It felt like going into a venue that's been closed, like going into a pub just, you know, on Boxing Day when there's nobody else there and you feel, is this place even open?
Yeah.
And then we kind of got used to it. Once people started coming in, it was like the whole 17 months were just a blip.
It did start to feel like, oh, this is normal. And yeah, when people were coming in and seeing familiar faces, and it kind of felt that, it's been a whole month since I've seen you. Oh, hang on, no, 17 months since I've seen you. And it just felt very familiar very quickly, which was weird.
I thought that the new normal suddenly looked rather like the old normal.
Yeah.
Which was really, really comforting because it was, I thought, relaxed and comfortable and really just what we expect from Brummies.
But we did do, there was a couple of small changes which I think made a difference. One was, and hats off to you, Richard, on this, we capped the numbers. There were sanitizer stations throughout the whole casino, which, you know, real thanks to the Grosvenor for making that place feel safe. And then we had the Pure Sand station as well set up to try and, you know, make sure everything was clean and hygienic as it could be. But I think capping the numbers definitely worked on this occasion.
Yeah.
And certainly one of the advantages that we have, of course, is that since we don't actually charge anybody, there's no temptation to say, well, if we cut the numbers, then we're cutting the revenue.
Yeah.
So we have that innate flexibility to do it. And it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, one of the things obviously we all discussed is that we want to make this as safe a return, which is why we've left it so long, because we wanted to ensure that this was going to be as safe as possible for everybody, because there's just no point taking unnecessary risks, even though we would have certainly liked to have come back sooner. It only sort of feels now that it is viable to do so. And hopefully, you know, long may that continue now on a monthly basis.
Well, I keep coming back to that restaurant analogy. If you go back to a venue and it's heaving, you don't feel comfortable at the moment. You probably won't go back for quite a long time. So if you go back to a venue and there's still a lot of spacing and distancing and it still feels empty-ish, but in a comfortable way, you'll go back and they can build up the number of tables gradually. And you will probably get more by doing that gradual build up to full capacity than you would by just casting off all doubt and filling the place up again. And then people don't see you until they feel safe. And, you know, sobering thought was we did have a few people that signed up and then had to drop out because they got pinged.
Yes.
So
it was, yes, definitely a timely reminder that we're not out of the woods yet with all this. We are still taking baby steps with this because we just obviously don't want to be a cause of anything going on.
You don't want to be the Typhoid Mary of networking coming back. But the other good thing about the low numbers was everybody got to speak to everyone. There wasn't that feeling that, you know, we've had at say, events in the past where we've had 80 to 100 people that you just couldn't get round everyone, which sometimes is great, you know, to broadcast those kind of numbers, but...
In the sense of logistically and physically, because, yeah, because yeah, often you can't move through the room to get to other yeah. people often because there are so many people there, which in one way is great, but in the current environment, no, certainly not.
Well, it's back to the old argument. Go on, Ewan, sorry.
I was just going to say, the other thing that struck me is that our attendees are grown up and responsible. Yeah. And there was, you know, decent distancing between people. And yeah, if people wanted to shake hands and both were happy with that, then you could.
And then sanitize.
Indeed. And then some people hugged Jason. But yeah, you know, it's everybody made it work, which is comforting.
Full context, some people hugged Jason. Or some people hugged, I'm looking in your direction, Jason.
Some people hugged, comma, Jason.
But yeah, it did feel very sensible. It did feel very well self-policed by everybody. It didn't feel like anyone was, you know, break it like you were showing up at an illegal rave, that we were all doing something a bit wrong. And I think having all the sanitation there made people feel more comfortable with shaking hands. Yeah. And it comes back to that old argument about, do you have a smaller effective network, or do you go for a large network where you've got more connections than a skip full of Lego? But not all of them are the right fit.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we issued our own guidance before the event, which was brilliantly adhered to by everyone using their own common sense. As you said, you know, everyone was checking with each other how everyone is comfortable greeting each other. And, you know, we didn't have to police anything. And for the fact that we didn't expect, had we not had a cap, I certainly didn't expect to get anywhere near our old number, not at the moment. I think we'll probably get there again eventually. But having a smaller number there, yes, there was plenty of mingling room, lots of distance between everybody. You could see exactly who was in the room at all times, other than people, you know, getting lost in a crowd, and we've had big, big numbers there. Yeah. And it did make for some really good, more in-depth conversations.
And again, it was that lovely mix of there were some old friends that came along and some new faces. And it was, you know, a pleasure to introduce people to each other. And the secret networking joy you get, where you actually think two people know each other or should know each other. And then you introduce them and realize, no, they've not met before. And you know what? They're going to get on great. And I just made that happen. Yay.
Yeah. And, of course, seeing people in the flesh for the first time who we've either only spoken to as interviewees on Brumpod or people that we've just communicated through LinkedIn and various other means. And, yeah, it was nice to see people in 3D, not just in avatar form.
Yeah, I'd started to think I'd imagined some of the people in like a fever dream many years ago, and it turned out they're real.
Yeah. But the other thing is that, you know, Zoom is all very well, and it is really come good during the pandemic. But you miss so much. You miss body language. You know, you miss the 3D bit. And I think that, you know, face to face is just more natural, and you get more out of it.
Yeah. And the little side conversations. I introduced two people. One was from a venue. And it was more of a like an amusing thing, because somebody was attending an event and there was a tentative link to what this venue do. So I just introduced them. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, my nieces are coming up and I need somewhere to take them. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll bring them over. I'll sort you out. Suddenly business happens that wouldn't probably have happened across a Zoom call, because it wouldn't feel as natural to have those little, you know, running off at a tangent. You know, one of the problems with video calling in general is it does, the audio favors the person that it's picked up as the speaker. And that means nobody else can chime in. You know, it's just as awkward when we do the podcast and we're sort of like, sometimes there's that little stilted silence where who's going to jump in next? And then we both jump in together. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, after you. These aren't normal conversation situations, and face-to-face meeting is just where it becomes more natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we've just all got to get back to networking, not just in the old way, but see if we've learned anything new from the Zoom and the offline stuff. I mean, I'll be doing a Lions Club meeting tonight, and it'll be a hybrid. We'll have some people in the room, some people on Zoom. We'll manage the differences, but we're getting back there and we're all reconnecting. I suppose that's the important thing, is how do you reboot your network after 17 months of being either on hiatus or just being kind of, you know, held back by the limits of remote working?
Well, I think the one thing I've been very grateful for, and it was very gratifying seeing the amount of people trying to make this sound not like a humble brag for Remy's, but yeah, we did have a lot of people reach out over the last few months. Just seeing when Bremis is coming back and us having to say, oh, we'll have news, you know, at some point very soon, stay tuned. And whilst we were making subtle plans behind the scenes. So we, having had so many messages off various people inquiring as to when we're coming back because they missed Bremis, was very gratifying. Because it shows that we were still a relevant thing in people's minds. To be able to come back and have a roomful, in the sense of a capped roomful of people that really wanted to come back, was brilliant, and we'll certainly be continuing that for the time being. You know, we'll maintain a cap for the foreseeable. The numbers we may adjust slightly, but yeah, it's proved that it worked well. I was really pleased with how yesterday went.
Absolutely, yeah. but I think. Ultimately, I would really like to get back to the traditional thing where you don't have to book.
Yeah.
You can turn up late. You can turn up on time. You can turn up early a bit. You can leave when you want and get that flexibility back. But, you know, under COVID, I agree we're doing totally the right thing.
Yeah, we have to work towards getting back to what made Brummies great, and we'll do it. I mean, I've got a question for you. We are rebooting our networks. We're re-engaging. We're reconnecting. Are you just picking up where you left off, or how are you guys doing it?
I need to build a business back. And yesterday was a kind of first tentative step into the meat space, as it were, of marketing. So, you know, I've been sitting here today working out how I get everything back, and how I use social media, how I use face-to-face, you know, how I reconnect with all those people that I was connected with before, some of whom have retired, some of whom are doing totally different jobs to what they were doing last time I saw them.
Or some of them aren't doing any jobs. There was something I noticed is, and it's a habit I've got into on LinkedIn. There's a lot of people where it says, congratulate so-and-so for 3 years in this role. And you think, they got made redundant just before the pandemic. They've just not bothered updating their LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
You put a congratulations on that, you look a bit silly, but it looks like you're actually not looking out for your network. You're just clicking for the sake of clicking. And yeah, you've got people that have retired, changed jobs, become unemployed, and their new role, they've got no need for LinkedIn, and they haven't bothered changing, deactivating their account. And then you've got the more interesting ones where you've got people that you are connected to that maybe did a bit of a stupid tweet around the World Cup and are no longer popular in their networks. Or maybe they started networking again and enjoyed the hospitality a bit too much and And sometimes you think, should I still be connected to these people? You know, yeah. As much as you're making new connections, it is worth looking at culling some of the older, ineffective or counterproductive connections. There are people that you used to work with that have now gone to work for a competitor. So now they're technically your rival, your opposition. They might be your frenemy. You might still go for a beer with them. But do you really want them looking at your newsfeed and seeing who you're doing business with and who you're speaking to?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, as well as always generating new connections and finding new people to speak to on LinkedIn, it is always worth just reconnecting with clients and people you haven't spoken to in a while. And just
sometimes disconnecting.
And sometimes disconnecting, yes.
Yeah, because there's that awful numbers game, which teenagers and the rest of us do, which is, I've got so many likes or so many followers or so many connections. And yeah, so what? It's a bit like the Brumbies email list.
Yeah.
Which, when we did the GDPR thing, it actually cut, from memory, the list quite substantially. But two people who wanted to hear from us and who are relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we've got more on the list than we had before.
Yeah. It's about whether your network is large, but mostly ineffective, or very small and very focused. Personally, I go for the smaller focused, because that way, if I meet people, if I refer someone, you know that it's a personal reference I'm giving, not just, well, these people are in my network, I've no idea where they are, but give them a go, and then find out that actually they declined to mention their convictions for serial fraud. Your referrals reflect back on you. So yeah. It's very important to maintain a good network. And your network is only as good as the people in it. So,
yeah. Well, it's like any network, any social network, it's better to have some people around you that are engaged with what you're talking about and you engaging with other people on what they're talking about, rather than just having an echo chamber of people just clicking like for the sake of clicking like, which means nothing. Yeah. Like seeing people on LinkedIn that either share or comment or like on posts from people declaring they've got 50,000 connections. And? Bothered?
Yeah, well, the problem with 50,000 connections is how many relationships can you maintain effectively? And I guarantee you it's not 50,000. Yeah. I would struggle beyond 2,000. And do you reach the point where somebody says, can you introduce me to someone in your network? And your response is, never met them before.
Yeah.
That's not a network. You're just a conduit. You're not even useful. It's just they could bypass you completely and go to this person and go, I'm a mutual connection with Richard Heathcote. And that other person could go, just doesn't mean anything.
Most people do that.
Well, to be fair, there are people that know you do the same.
But, yeah.
But isn't there some kind of number, and I've forgotten whose name is attached to it, which says how many people you can actually really know. And it's way below 2,000. It's more like 100, isn't it?
Yeah, to maintain significant relationships. There's some sort of law to it. It's not like Murphy's Law or Pareto's Law or even Cole's Law, which is that's the one where if you mix carrot and cabbage and mayonnaise, you can get yourself a tasty snack.
He's here all week, folks.
Thank you very much.
Sadly.
And in person there. But yeah, there is that element that there's only a finite number of significant relationships you can maintain. Once you go beyond that, it's like you've got a core, you've got family, I don't mean like blood relatives, but you've got really close connections. Then you've got friends, then you've got acquaintances, and then people outside of that who aren't quite strangers, but it's more that you're ambivalent to them. So, and everyone has that that sort of hierarchy of the people that they know. And yeah, if you get a referral from someone that is important to you, then you will take it far more seriously than if it's just a passing acquaintance.
Yeah.
True.
And you won't stick your neck out for everyone. You know, there are some times where you have the opportunity to refer someone and you go, I wouldn't inflict them on you. It's a sad fact, but yeah, sometimes you will look at the people you know and think, you could do business together, but I don't think you'd get on.
Yeah.
And that only comes from knowing people well enough to know not to waste their time by connecting them.
It's all about maintaining a good, effective network that is mutually beneficial for everybody, both people you know and people they know and everything else. And yes, not just accruing followers and connections like they're going out of fashion just for the fact that you want a bigger number displayed on your profile.
Well, that's just
of course on
gold.
LinkedIn doesn't matter anyway, because as soon as you hit 500, it just says 500 plus.
Yeah.
So unless you look at the follow account, then it doesn't really matter how many people you've got. You may as well just focus on having a good engaged network that actually functions and works for you. And, you know, well, ultimately generates business, because that's the whole point of being on LinkedIn, sort of being useful and ultimately making some money from it through it.
Yeah. When was the last time your accountant said, you know what, in order to make it to the end of the financial year clean, you only need 2,000 more likes on your posts?
Yeah.
Never happened.
And anyone that
and if it did. Get yourself a new accountant.
Yes, yeah, just thinking the same thing. So obviously we're going to be constantly maintaining an eye on what's happening in the world with COVID and the variants and that kind of thing. We are hoping beyond hope that this now means we are able to continue our monthly events as per normal or relative normal.
Until climate change kicks in.
Well, yes, yes.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
So I believe the next event is on the 14th of September.
Yeah, it's going to be like one of those weird mid-month ones where people will look at the first Tuesday and go, is that the second or the first? Am I too early? Am I going to miss it?
Just yeah. Like we do every month.
Yeah, we'll really have to, you know, make sure people know the date for the next one.
There will be another Eventbrite link going around in due course on the Brummies LinkedIn page and Twitter. So
are you going to release the official number you're going to cap it at, or are you just not going to tell us again?
I'm not going to tell you.
Just going to pick a number.
Sportsbook.
Yeah. I've got a dartboard here. It's just got a load of facts and figures on there.
See, even if we agree it now, you know, as a democracy, if we both vote for it, you're the one doing the Eventbrite page. So
yeah, I'm the one with the login. So, you know.
No.
Yeah, Brummies is now a dictatorship.
Yes, and proud. Yeah. But yeah, we will be capping numbers again around about the 40 mark, just to allow for any people that haven't read the stuff that end up dropping in anyway, and allowing for people that have to drop out beforehand for various reasons. So it'll be around the 40-ish mark. So yeah, we'll get that link sent around everybody in due course, just so you can start booking in ahead of time. And yes, we'll obviously maintain the safety standards that we have now initiated. We'll make things as safe as possible. We're obviously going to allow for plenty of mingling space. And we did have some really good feedback from people yesterday who independently said to us that they felt certainly very safe in that environment. So that was good to hear.
Which is weird, because there was a bloke with a Deadpool mask running around. I mean, that's probably the least safe environments I can think of.
Yeah, how he slipped through security, I'll never know. But so do look out for that link going around very soon. That should hopefully be visible within the next day or so. So feel free to start booking in once you see that. And thank you for listening to episode 50. We've done 50 of these.
Wow.
Who knew? Who listens? I don't know. So thank you for tuning in, and we shall see you next time.
You've been listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Audio Shed Podcast Studio. Follow us on Twitter, at Brumpod. You can follow and subscribe to future episodes using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and several other podcast platforms. Just search for Brumpod. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, then please do consider leaving us a review. Music by Bureaucratic. We'll see you on the next episode.